Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio, where we bring you information about Minnesota's National Guard, the military community, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Program, and Department of Veterans Affairs. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is also a Vietnam veteran of the United States Air Force and a member of the VFW and American Legion. Now, here's Tom Lyons.
Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, the state's American Legion commander joins us to talk about how you can help save the Minneapolis Veterans Home Project, and we'll get a preview of coming events at historic Fort Snelling. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
Military members will be the first to tell you, our families are the reason we are able to serve. Today, I would like to honor a special member of our military family, our mothers. Mothers play an important role in our lives. They are the first to give us love, as well as strength and courage to persevere when the going gets tough. Mothers teach us, at an early age, values that fall in line with values we adopt when we join the military. In the Minnesota National Guard, as in all branches, we have mothers who also serve. They are dedicated, hardworking individuals who balance their military lives and their family lives to serve our country. I'd be remiss without mentioning another very special group of mothers, our Gold Star mothers. These mothers have endured a pain most of us will never know. On this Mother's Day, I would like to thank all of our mothers for your support of what we do and your sacrifices while we serve. It gives us the strength to accomplish our mission.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining us now is the state's American Legion commander, Don Pancake. Don, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you very much, Tom.
Don, I know you've been commander for just about a year, and we're going to talk about that in the second segment and see how that year's been going. But before we get into the details here, tell me about your military career.
Tom, I graduated from high school in 1964, and the Vietnam War was going on, so I joined the United States Navy, and I was a machinist mate second class. I served on an amphibious ship that we took care of the Marines. We spent a lot of time in Vietnam, Tom.
Yes, sir, both Vietnam veterans. And Don, tell me how you came to be the state's department commander, American Legion.
I don't know. I guess I woke up one morning and thought that would be a challenge, Tom. It was something I could see. We had two great commanders in Hutchinson, Roger Olson and Frank Fay, and I was encouraged by them that someday I might want to do this. And so you set your sights and you just start kind of working toward it, and the Legionnaires of Minnesota will let you know when they think you should run.
And you spent a lot of years working on veterans issues with American Legion.
Oh, yes, sir. That's what the American Legion does.
Now, Don, you've been the commander for the last year, which means you're automatically a member of the Commander's Task Force, which is monthly meetings of the 9 veteran service organizations that are authorized. And you get together over at the Veterans Home, and you go over some issues, and some of them are legislative issues for our veterans, aren't they?
Yes, sir, Tom. We started to meet in September. And what we wanted to do, the Commander's Task Force is there to assist the Commissioner of Veterans Affairs with passing or bringing forth the agenda that he wants to bring before the Minnesota legislature. But any agenda that's brought forth is agreed upon 100% unanimously among all of our members. And so that way we know we have full support when we bring an issue to the Capitol.
So collectively, the members of the 9 veteran service organizations represent a lot of the veterans in the state of Minnesota.
Over 200,000, Tom.
And you're there to make sure that the veterans' issues are forefront and that our state legislatures know that there's some issues that our veterans are interested in.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Now, one of the things that keeps coming up, it came up last year and it came up again this year, is the program for the Minneapolis Veterans Home. Can you tell us what that is and how it's unfolded over several years?
Tom, the Commander's Task Force is set up 11 initiatives, but the number one initiative was to finish up Phase 3 of the Minneapolis Veterans Home. In 2010, the legislature of Minnesota gave us three phases that they wished us to complete the Minneapolis Veterans Home. Phase one, which was completed in 2012, if I have my year right, but phase one is done. And we have 100 beds there in that home. It's a family style living when you go there. Phase two was then started. And phase two is the north half of what we call Building 17. Building 17 was built in 1978, and it's really the old institutionalized type veterans home. Well, the funding was approved. The VA funding came in. So we started building phase two. We can't complete phase two because phase three, which is right now it's on hold, because the infrastructure of phase two and phase three, the buildings join together, the air conditioning works together, the steam heat goes through, the tunnels, the pharmacy, the whole infrastructure of building one, building two, rely on the completion of building three. And when it's completed, we will have another 100 beds, so we will have a 300-bed skilled care facility. The project is $54 million, and people will raise their eyebrow at that. But yet, $35 million of that is available to be replaced by a federal grant from the federal government. And the reason for that is that the current home has safety and health issues. And these are the things that when we had a few years ago, there was a lot of uproar in front lines that the Minneapolis Veterans Home is unsafe for veterans and et cetera. The commissioner has handled all of those problems, but yet we're in a facility that was built in 1978. And we want to get that facility so that it's like a home for the veterans and not an institution.
We're speaking with Don Pancake, Minnesota's American Legion Department Commander on Minnesota Military Radio. So, Don, you said the legislature started this out with a project that they divided into three phases. They funded phase one, got underway. They funded phase two. But now the last couple of years they're having trouble finishing. They pulled it out of the bill last year at the last minute. And this year it's on the agenda. What's the status of it?
Well, you know, every time we go over there, there's a lot of rumbling about putting veterans' homes in other part of the state. There's rumblings about putting veterans in community. They have an initial for it, you know, the acronyms, but community nursing homes, you know, that you have in those communities. And have the federal government. They said, well, just let the federal government fill those community nursing homes. Well, the problem is, number one, veterans don't want to be there. They want to be with veterans. Number two, they have to be 70% disabled in order to be eligible to stay in a community nursing home. So that the greatest percentage of our veterans, we have 380,000 veterans in Minnesota that are eligible to go into our veterans homes. We have 225,000 of those veterans that live just in the metro area within 60 miles of the Minneapolis Veterans Home. So all our veterans are right here in Minneapolis. And the funding problems were, you know, it just seems that the Capitol, nobody knows what's going on. We go and they go to the meetings, and the commissioner, you sit at the meetings, and the legislators will say, well, I didn't realize that. Well, where's this $17 million you got? Well, we didn't get $17 million because last year they passed a stadium bill. And the last day they passed a stadium, they pulled the home out of it. We didn't get a home. They got a stadium, and we lost our $17 million. So we don't have that $17 million. That's gone. And it's just... The whole thing is just a shuffle around in the Capitol, and nobody seems to know. But the outstate just isn't going to work. We need to finish Minneapolis.
So, Don, the phase three completes the campus, ties everything together, and provides extra beds. What kind of a waiting list do we have in Minneapolis and in around the state for veterans trying to get into the home?
There's 800, and as of about 2 weeks ago, there was 874 veterans waiting to get into a veterans home. 474 of that 874 were from the metropolitan area. And yet the representatives and the senators from the metropolitan area are not supporting our hospitals. They're not supporting our medical or our veterans' home. And we need that support. And without it, it's everything else is more important than the veteran when it comes to where they're going to do their money. And now they don't know if they're going to do a bonding issue. Well, okay, if you're not going to do a bonding issue, then put it on your agenda to fund our $54 million because you're going to get $35 million back.
Don, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we'll talk just a little bit more about this and how our listeners can help us finish that project in Phase 3 out of the Veterans Home. We've been talking to the Minnesota Department Commander for the American Legion, Don Pancake, on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. I've been talking to Minnesota's American Legion Department Commander, Don Pancake. Don, we were talking about this Veterans Home project out at the Minneapolis Veterans Home and the fact that it's a three-phase project. Phase one and two are done. We need to finish it up to tie the campus together and to make sure that the home is in good shape for the future. Did you tell me in another discussion, is phase three of that project, part of it's there now, are they operating on waivers?
Well, yes. You see, Building 17, being as old as it is, really right now, and they're running that building on health safety waivers. And it wouldn't pass. It probably would not pass the some of the inspections that the CMS certifications would require. But they know that we're going to replace it, and because of that, they're writing on waivers, and the whole infrastructure, the steam lines and everything, go through Building 3 before they go to Building 2, go over to Building 1. All of that stuff goes through Building 3. The project was guaranteed to be 3 years or three phases, and the Senate is not coming through on our third most important phase. There's air conditioners that go on the roof that are now sitting on the ground. They're sitting basically on slabs or something with just some ductwork going into the walls that are supposed to be roof units, but there's no roof to put them on.
So what we really need is for the state legislature to approve the funding for the third phase so that we can get done with the upgrade of the Minneapolis Veterans Home Project.
Tom, we need the veterans of Minnesota. We need the citizens of Minnesota that care about veterans to call the senator that they see at coffee, call the representative they voted for, tell them to get the Minneapolis Veterans Home done so that we can move forward in the state of Minnesota and get a home in Silver Bay or get a home in Bemidji and get a home in Montevideo. But we can't do anything until this home is completed. And we're going to lose our federal funding if we don't get it now and we move down on the list. We could wait years to get funding now. So we have to get this home done. People have to call their centers. They have to get on these people. They do not like it when the veterans call them and tell them to get it done. They don't like people being on their backs. And that's the only thing it seems is going to get this home done. Thank you, Tom.
So get on the phone and call your senator and your representative so Don Pancake doesn't have to be in here pounding on my table and looking like he's all stressed out. We have a commitment to our veterans. Let's finish up that veterans home. Don, you've been the department commander for nearly a year. You got a couple months left. Tell me about your commander's project, Legionville.
Tom, I remember when I came in here about a year ago, I said my project was to build a new education center at Legionville. And I think if I remember my statements, you asked me, well, how much is it going to cost? And I said, well, Tom, to get the initial building was going to be about $280,000, $90,000. And I looked across at your microphone, and you kind of raised your eyebrows. But I also said, but this is the Minnesota American Legion. These people will come through. These people will build my Veterans Center for their veteran and help me complete my project. And my project, they've donated like $58,000 just to my commander's project to help. The building is up. Our building is up. It's huge. It's a wonderful building. There's one of the main, we call it the barn, is big enough to play basketball in. There's two classrooms. It's It's just a wonderful structure, but now we need to complete it. And so next thing is the floor. And that's what the money from my funding is going to be coming in to get the floor in it. And as we start going, it'll finish. It's going to take another couple hundred thousand to finish this thing up, but at least we can use it.
We've been speaking with the American Legion's Department Commander, Don Pancake, on Minnesota Military Radio. Legionville, for those of you that might have just tuned in and or maybe haven't heard us when Don's been on the show this year, is a training center for school and school bus patrols. Quality instruction in the correct school safety patrol methods is provided by the safety education officers of the Minnesota State Patrol. And the program has been recognized by the National Safety Council as one of the outstanding traffic safety promotion programs in the country. And it's been up there, and it's been supported by the American Legion for many years. In the old education center, the barn finally fell down, didn't it, Don?
It was awful. Yeah, the barn had to go. It had been there since they bought the property, and basically was a barn, and they converted it into classrooms. But towards the end, it was condemned. They couldn't use it. It was being held up by a cable tied around a tree, and it had to go. And we needed an education center, and we needed classrooms. We needed a place for the kids to get out and out of the inclement weather. And we've got it. We're starting to roll.
And if our listeners want to see some, you've got some nice photos of the new building up on your website, don't you?
Yeah, yes, sir. www.legionville.org, O-R-G. It's you can register your kids to go to school patrol camp on there. You can register them if they've gone to school patrol camp to go to an alumni camp we have, which trains leadership, canoeing, swimming. It's just there's all kinds of things on the website, so it'll tell you those things. Yes, you can buy bricks if you have a kid that went, a child or something that went to Legionville. You can actually buy a brick and put their child's name or your grandma's name or grandpa's name and put it on there, and it goes into a patio, and you can donate money that way to Legionville. Anybody can. It's a wonderful cause.
So, Commander, just to bring everybody up to date, the barn is gone, the new building is up, and it looks beautiful, but it needs some plumbing and electricity and a floor, and after that you need to remodel the inside for use.
Right, Tom. We have a barn. We have a building. It's not a barn, but we have a building. Next comes the floor, of course, the plumbing and stuff, and next comes the floor. And then as money comes in, we'll start putting in walls for classrooms, and we'll just start doing it as it comes. But the main thing is now we have a structure, and people can come up and they can see where their money went, and they can say, okay, I want to buy one of the toilets, and they can give us $300, and they can help pay for one of the toilets that's going to go in it, whatever it may be.
You're not going to put your name on a toilet, are you, Don?
If that's what it's going to take, I guess you can put my name on all the toilets. So
if you go to legionville.org, there's a spot on there where you can donate. You can see pictures of the new building that I think you're probably going to affectionately call the barn, because the old one was the education center.
I hope I don't have a bronze plaque on the toilet with my name on it. That wouldn't be good. But
we gave somebody an idea today, Don.
Yep.
But you still need more money to complete the project. You've made a lot of progress this year, haven't you?
Oh, this has been just a fabulous year. American Legion in Minnesota, we've just done so much changing in how we do things in the Legion. We're so much with training and how to assist veterans statewide. And my personal experiences is traveling around the state and going all the way from the Rainy River Canadian Legion and visiting them down to the corners of Minnesota, Round Lake and the Laverne nursing homes and down in the southeast. I mean, every corner of Minnesota. I've been near Ely a few times, and it's just a joy that a person can't really describe, being the commander of the Minnesota Legion without actually being there. It's quite a thing.
Don, you've only got a couple of months left in office. What else do you have to finish up besides raising more money for Legionville?
Well, we got to get through. We're still going around getting money for Legionville.
Sure.
But, we have our district conventions, and we go around the state to our district conventions, and I'm done in July, and then, of course, I'm the delegation chairman in August, I, of course, so at the National Convention in Houston, Texas. And I'll do that, and then I'll be kind of ready to go to pasture.
Go to pasture, Don. You've had a busy year. I'm sure you put on about 30,000 miles running around the state. You've been a busy man. Are you going to be able to go from full speed to stop when July 1st comes around?
Well, actually, my grandkids have been looking at my calendar on my computer for the last year, and like you've seen a lot of people, right now on the 16th of November, I'm taking my grandkids and my son and daughter to Disney World. We're gonna spend our time at the vacation capital of Orlando, Florida.
We're going to have to post a picture of Commander Don Pancake. What's he going to do? I'm going to Disney World.
I got to get a part-time job, sir, to pay for it. Yep.
Don, we've had a great year, and I've appreciated you stopping by the studio and sharing all of your activities with us on Minnesota Military Radio. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you very much, Tom. Thank you for what you do, and thank you for the opportunity you've given me.
That was our state's American Legion Commander, Don Pancake, on Minnesota Military Radio. In a moment, we're going to get a preview of the coming events at historic Fort Snelling this summer. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Bill Popp of the Minnesota Military Family Foundation. An Army squad is made up of 8 soldiers, and when the squad is on patrol, each soldier is dependent on each other for safety. When a soldier is distracted because of a financial crisis with the family back home, that puts every soldier on the squad at risk. The Minnesota Military Family Foundation helps turn a bad situation into a positive one. The foundation provides financial support during a financial crisis at home. This helps re-energize the soldier. The soldier feels the financial burden lifted and has feelings of pride because of the support from the community at home. When the soldier is no longer focused on the financial crisis at home, the soldier is able to stay engaged in the mission and do his duty to protect other soldiers in the squad. When we help one soldier, we're helping all soldiers. When we help one military family, we're helping all military families. If you're in a position to help, please donate. Go to MinnesotaMilitaryFamilyFoundation.org.
Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to get a preview of the coming events from historic Fort Snelling. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shelato.
The Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs is continually looking for qualified employees who want to work with our team. One person alone can't accomplish our mission. When you join the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, you are joining a team that is committed to helping serve Minnesota veterans and their families. Whether you are a veteran, family member, or an individual, you can make a difference today by supporting our nation's heroes. We have full-time and part-time positions throughout Minnesota in both the Program and Services and Veterans Homes divisions. To find current opportunities at the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, visit the Minnesota Management and Budget website and create an online resume today. MDVA is committed to the policy of equal employment opportunity and maintains an affirmative action program.
Thank you, Commissioner Shelato. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now is Matt Cassidy, who is a program specialist at historic Fort Snelling. Matt, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you very much for having me.
Matt, can you tell us a little bit about your background? How did you get to Fort Snelling, and how does one get to be an historian working out that way?
Oh, as I said, it's a long and arduous journey, but I got started through living history and reenactment when I was in high school. I was interested in Civil War history in particular. And when I went into college, studied history, and found out that there are people out there, believe it or not, that can make a living at that. And I decided, well, that's what I want to do. So got a master's in museum science and moved up here to Minnesota and started work at Historic Fort Snelling as an interpreter, a costumed guide, and then got the job as the program developer. And I've been there since 2008.
Now, were you familiar with Fort Snelling before you moved to Minnesota?
Believe it or not, I was. I had come up here on vacation and had participated in a Civil War reenactment at the fort, and I told myself that I'd love to work here someday. And lo and behold, 5 years later, I made my dream come true.
How about that? Not many people get that chance.
It's been fantastic.
Now, Matt, I understand Fort Snelling's been there since the early 1800s. Can you give us a little background on it?
Sure. Fort Snelling was the first permanent military installation for the United States in what would eventually become Minnesota. First troops arrived in 1819 and began construction on the fort the following year. It took about 5 years, and the fort then was active until 1858, closed down for only 3 years after the U.S. government started establishing forts further west. And then because of the Civil War, the fort kind of got a rebirth. And it was then in active service from 1861 until 1946, the end of World War II.
And of course, back in the 1800s, the main method of travel, or the quickest method of travel, was the rivers.
Absolutely. The fort was built at the junction of the Mississippi and the Minnesota rivers. Strategic, of course, can control the rivers from the bluff that it's sitting on.
And during World War II, it was in heavy use, wasn't it?
Absolutely. The largest number of troops that came through Fort Snelling at any time was during World War II. 300,000 servicemen and women were inducted into the U.S. military there. And there was also the Military Intelligence Service's language school, starting in 1944, where Japanese linguists were trained. And they served both during the war in the Pacific and in the occupation of Japan after the war. So Fort Snelling is a very, very important role in World War II.
Now, Matt, do you ever get any of those World War II veterans come back out to Fort Snelling just to look around and think about those days?
We really do, and it's quite a treat to be able to visit with them. And our staff often stop doing what they're doing to listen to them when they're willing to share their stories. And then we, in turn, can turn around and share their stories with the public and keep that history alive.
Get them firsthand before it's too late.
Exactly.
We're speaking with Matt Cassidy, a program specialist at Historic Fort Snelling on Minnesota Military Radio. Now, Matt, Fort Snelling is open to the public. Is it all summer or all year?
We're open in the summertime. We begin our public season on Memorial Day weekend, and we round it out on Labor Day weekend. And in between, there's all kinds of special events. There's summer camps. There's our daily program that you can come and learn about life in the early 1800s. There's an awful lot of things for a family to come out and do.
Matt, there's several big holidays each summer, and we start off with Memorial Day. Do you have special things going on Memorial Day?
We do. On Memorial Day, we do our annual military history timeline event, which is a lot of fun. We have staff and we have local reenactors that come out, and we do a living, breathing timeline of military history from the colonial era all the way up until today. So as you move around the fort, you can visit with costumed staff portraying these different eras and learn about everything from, like I said, the colonial era before the American Revolution all the way up to today and everything in between.
So do you get a lot of families that come out and pick up some of that history?
We do. On Memorial Day, we're also free to veterans and active military. And so we have a lot of families, veterans families that come out too. It's become one of our most popular events, and it's fantastic to be able to share that much history, such a broad span of history with the public.
Now, did you say it opens Memorial Day?
Memorial Day weekend. So the Saturday before Memorial Day, we're open, and then we're open all the way up through Labor Day, and then Saturdays in September and October.
And you've had some special guests out there during May. Some classes?
Absolutely, yes. We have our busiest time for school kids is in the spring. We get about 30,000 school kids come through every year, and we try to talk to them about the different people, the different cultures that connected at Fort Snelling during that early 19th century era.
Do you have some reenactors for those school children as well?
Absolutely, we do. They move around the fort, and they get different perspectives on life at the post in the 1820s. Everything from a soldier to a laundress to learning about the American Indian communities that were here, and also about Dred and Harriet Scott, two enslaved people that lived at Fort Snelling, that the actions they took based on their time at Fort Snelling really altered the course of American history and pushed us closer to the Civil War.
Do you get a lot of questions from those students, Matt?
We absolutely do. And the questions range from everything from about the clothes. Are you hot wearing that wool uniform? To questions about slavery existing in Minnesota, which most people don't know about. So it's really a wonderful opportunity to talk with youth about our really rich history.
And Matt, we've got another holiday coming up, which is Independence Day, July 4th, and I think that's a weekday this year, so some folks won't be going out of town. You're going to have a crowd?
I sure hope so. It turns out to be one of our biggest events of the year, and what we do is we put on what a typical Independence Day celebration would have looked like in the early 1800s, complete with military dress parades, large cannon salutes. You can go around, you see people playing games, and it's really a lot of fun. So kind of give you a feel for what it must have been like at the post, celebrating what at that time was the most important holiday of the year.
And I haven't asked you, on Memorial Day, Independence Day, what kind of hours are you open?
On those days, we are open from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. So there's plenty of time to bring the family out.
And then you're going to wrap up the year along about Labor Day. What happens on Labor Day?
Labor Day, we've got a pretty new event. It's a lot of fun. It goes over the 3 days, and it's kind of a progressive event. So if guests come on Saturday, they're definitely going to want to come on Sunday and Monday to get the whole story. It's called Life in the 1800s from Cradle to Grave. It's a long title, but each day that guests come out, they can experience a different slice of life. So the first day will be about marriage and what was that like in the 19th century. So it'll be a recreated wedding. And then the second day will be about birth and how were children brought up at the fort. And then the last day will be about how people at the fort would have commemorated the passing of someone and death. And we'll be recreating an 1820s style military funeral.
That sounds like you better open up some of those old barracks so people can just stay for the weekend.
That would be great if they did.
Matt, I wanted to ask you if our listeners want to get more information about Fort Snelling, do you have a website?
Absolutely. They can visit www.historicfortsnelling.org.
Historicfortsnelling.org, and you're open from Memorial Day to Labor Day?
Correct.
We're going to have to take a short break, Matt. When we come back, I want to talk about some special weekends and some camps and some other things that are going on at Historic Fort Snelling this summer. We're talking to Matt Cassidy, from program specialist from Historic Fort Snelling on Minnesota Military Radio. We'll be right back. Please stay with us.
This is Major General Rick Nash, Minnesota's Adjutant General, encouraging you to hire today's veterans. Visit PositivelyMinnesota.com/veterans. That's PositivelyMinnesota.com/veterans.
Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been speaking with Matt Cassidy, a program specialist at Historic Fort Snelling. Matt, I have to ask you, I think it's the 150th anniversary of Gettysburg. Do you have any special things going on in Fort Snelling?
It is. This year we are focusing our August Civil War weekend event on the events of 1863. So you'll be able to learn about what was happening in Minnesota in 1863 and what was happening to Minnesota soldiers, both fighting at Gettysburg and in Vicksburg in the West. And so we're going to try to talk about that really pivotal year at Fort Snelling. And the Historical Society, the Minnesota Historical Society, also is doing several things. They have the Minnesota and the Civil War exhibit going on at the History Center in St. Paul. The U.S. Dakota War of 1862 exhibit, which also talks about what was going on in 1863. And there are plenty of other Civil War resources that are available if you go to mnhs.org.
So part of the Historical Society, and of course you're part of that as well, aren't you?
Exactly. So it's kind of a concerted effort for the sesquicentennial.
I'm looking at the plan for the summer, and is this plan available at the website, historicfortsnelling.org?
Yes, it is. If you go on to historicfortsnelling.org, under our events and programs, you can find a list of all the special events we do, all the summer camps, the classes that we offer, every educational program that we've got. You can find the information right there.
Now, Matt, I'm intrigued by the summer camps. Can our young people come out there and stay overnight, or what kind of camps do you have?
Well, they're day camps, but what they do is they take literature from the 19th century or about the 19th century, and they use that as the gateway to introduce kids to history. So we have a camp that's centered around the Little House book series. Kids get to do activities that were mentioned in the books. We have one that is focused on the adventures of Huckleberry Finn, another about the life and legend of Davy Crockett. So these summer camps are open to the kids. They come out, they spend a day with us, and they do all kinds of historical activities. And we use that to try to get them interested and get them really hooked into learning about the past.
And for those camps, can they register online?
The registration is available online from our website, historicfortsnelling.org.
We say that a couple more times, everybody will get it, Matt.
I hope so.
I know you've got some other themed weekends. For instance, you've got a World War II weekend. What's that about?
Correct. As I mentioned earlier, Fort Snelling had a pretty important role in Minnesota's World War II history. And so we turned the fort itself from the early 1800s to the 1940s, reenactors come out, vintage vehicles, and go to interactive learning stations around the fort, learn about the role that the men and women from Minnesota played in our World War II history.
And Matt, I thought I saw something in here about a bike tour.
Yes, you can take a bike tour of the upper post, and that's what we call the buildings that are across the highway from the historic fort. Those date back to the World War II era, and that is put on by one of our friend groups, the Friends of Fort Snelling. You can go on a biking tour around that that property and learn about those buildings and the 20th century history of Fort Snelling.
So that's part of the Fort Snelling Park that's in the shadow of the airport out there?
Yeah, correct.
Okay, so they can start with you at Fort Snelling and then go around the park, come back, some of those kind of things.
Make a whole day of it.
And I saw another one that intrigued me. I learned how to do some of this when I was on the farm for a blacksmith. You've got a blacksmith for a day.
We do. If you're interested in historic skills, come on out and we'll teach you how to blacksmith. Actually using the forge, using original equipment, and teach you how to heat metal, bend it, make things out of it. And then if you go through the basic class, you can take an advanced class. So for every level, you can come on out.
I better come out and take the beginning class. I think I forgot how to do that, Matt.
That'd be great.
How about for our musicians? Anything special for our young people that like music?
If they like music, then we've got something for them. We have two camps. One is the fife and drum camp, and the other is a bugler camp. So if you have any interest in the music of the 19th century, come on out. We'll give you tin whistles, and we'll give you a drum, and you can learn how to play those. And we'll give you a bugle to try out. And at the end of the day, you'll be putting on a little concert.
Now, Matt, this sounds like a great place to go for a family outing. And a few months ago, we had on Chaplain Beal from historic Fort Snelling Chapel, and I think he has Sunday services at 11. So if a family wanted to come out and see the beautiful chapel and attend services and then come over and see you, there's a whole host of things to do, isn't there?
Absolutely. You could make an entire day of it. Go to the chapel, come to the fort, and go on down to the state park and take a hike. So there's lots of things to do and a lot to learn.
One last time, I got to ask you, Matt, for a schedule of everything that's coming out and for registering online and learning more about Fort Snelling, where do they go?
Go to historicfortsnelling.org.
Matt, I want to thank you for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks so much for having me.
This is Matt Cassidy, Program Specialist at Historic Fort Snelling on Minnesota Military Radio. Before we go, we have a few events to mention, and joining us now to help us with the first is former member of the Navy Elite SEALs, Lieutenant Larry Yatch. Lieutenant Yatch, welcome to the show.
I'm glad to be on.
Sir, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and your career?
Yeah, no problem. Went to the United States Naval Academy, graduated, went straight into the SEAL program. Spent 10 years as an officer in the SEAL program, deploying multiple combat deployments to the Middle East as well as Southeast Asia. I was injured and medically retired in July of 2008. I started a company called Sealed Mindset, in which we offer training in everything from situational awareness through physical defense skills all the way to advanced firearm skills out of New Hope, Minnesota.
Sir, I understand you and your team will be dropping in to Minnesota to support an upcoming event. Can you tell us a little about that?
We are. We partnered with MN Pro Paintball, one of the best paintball organizations in the state. They have, for over the last 5 years, run a large event to support the cardiac unit at Children's Hospital. They've raised over $100,000 so far, plan to raise another $35,000 this year. They have a huge game. It's a 700-person game. It's a role game where you come and play paintball. Myself, as well as one of my employees, another former SEAL, are going to be part of these teams, and my co-worker here was part of the Navy SEALs Leapfrogs, which is the SEAL parachute team. So he'll actually be doing a free fall parachute jump right into start off this whole event.
Sounds pretty exciting. Are you going to be dropping in with him, sir?
I'm not. Because of my injuries, I can no longer parachute.
So you're going to catch him when he gets down?
Yep, I get to catch him in the Humvee on the way down.
Well, Lieutenant Yatch, I want to thank you for joining us today. Sounds like a great cause to support, and we hope it goes very well and you raise lots of funds for the Children's Hospital.
No problem. If you want to find out any more information, just go to mnpropaintball.com, and under the events tab, you'll find the challenge for children.
Thank you for joining us today, sir.
You're welcome.
Also coming up, Minnesota's Ride for Healing kicks off May 27th in St. Paul. The week-long ride will cover the four corners of the state and will be capped off by a June 1st rally weekend in the Brainerd Lakes area. Proceeds will support the National Vietnam Veterans Memorial Education Center. For more information on these and other upcoming events, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, or subscribe to our email podcast at minnesotamilitaryradio.com. We're just about out of time. If you have a mailbag question or suggestion for a topic you'd like us to address, please go to minnesotamilitaryradio.com and click on Contact Us to send us a note. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Commander Don Pancake, Matt Cassidy, Lieutenant Larry Yatch, Commissioner Larry Shelato of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week when, 40 years after Vietnam, we'll go in-depth on the lasting, devastating effects of Agent Orange on our veterans and their descendants. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime on minnesotamilitaryradio.com. I hope you and all your family have a great Mother's Day. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
You've been listening to Minnesota Military Radio with Tom Lyons. Tom is the founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition firm. This has been a production of Clear Channel, MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com, the Minnesota National Guard, BeyondTheYellowRibbon.org, and the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Podcasts of the show are available at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.